Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully for the next hour they're going to be the views of Buck Keeley, but so far while we haven't been able to get him, it looks like... Well, we'll just have to wait to see. So if you have something you'd like to call and talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll hope that we can get our regularly scheduled guest, Buck Keeley. But if not, we'll be glad to talk about whatever you'd like to. But I was just thinking this evening about certainly the criticism of Congressman Ron Paul. Now, Congressman Paul has certainly come up with a number of unique ideas. He wants to abolish 5 federal agencies. He wants to abolish the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Housing and Internal Development, Department of Commerce, and the Department of the Interior, and he says we don't need all of those government agencies and cabinet posts. They're a useless expenditure of money. And then he wants to actually investigate the Federal Reserve System. He wants to do away with the privately owned central bank that allows a group of private bankers to control our government, to control our economy, to be able to actually create money out of nothing, to buy politicians. Basically, of course, the purpose of the Federal Reserve System, the central bank, ostensibly is to give us, no inflation. And yet, of course, since they were created back in 1913, we've had about a 95% decrease in the value of our currency, so that the dollar that existed at that time in 1913 is worth about 5 cents today. The other purpose of the Federal Reserve System is to give us full employment. And the real unemployment in America today, despite all the things that you're hearing about, is the fact that we have about 16 million people, 14 million people who are out of work, about 9 million people who are underemployed, and 6 million people who've simply given up looking for work. About 28 to 29 million Americans are unemployed, underemployed, or given up. That doesn't sound like the Federal Reserve System's doing a very good job, or maybe that's not what they're really trying to do. Maybe they're trying to wreck our economy because they have a different agenda. And their loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist dream of a one-world government and transferring our jobs and our wealth and our manufacturing to other countries throughout the world. Well, we're not going to get a chance to talk about that because right now we have Buck Keeley on the line. Hi, Buck. How are we doing?
I'm doing well, Dr. Stanley. Yourself?
Well, I'm doing just fine. I'm so glad that we were able to track you down there. I was getting a little worried. I was going to have to do a monologue for an hour here. But right now, for those of you who don't know Buck, why, Chris, he has a company that sells seeds and certain other things you need for growing things. And this is a great time. I think a lot of people are realizing that the time may come when we're going to need to know how to grow our own food. Besides that, it's sort of fun to put those seeds in the ground and actually see what happens. And so we have Buck on with us every month as he takes us through the things that we have to do right now, preparing the soil for the spring. But it's not going to be, what is it, about 2 months, 3 months before we start our planting?
Well, you're going to be bombarded now this month and the month after with seed catalogs.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. Go right ahead, Buck.
You're going to be bombarded this month and next month with seed catalogs come from all across the country through dozens of different distributors, and what they all have in common.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Be GMO, but a lot of them got to be hybrid. And you don't want hybrid seeds, you want heirloom seeds. The traditional seeds, now, of course, what Buck had said, is about 6 weeks before the last frost. Why, of course, you can start getting a lot of things in the ground, and you have a list of those on your website.
Yes, that all of the seeds that we have will have the planting time, and before frost date, and it's a good help for you to know when they go in. So each seed will tell you germination time and to harvest time and when the best put them in, and the non hybrid seed, it's pretty simple to know the difference. A hybrid seed is one that they pollinate inside of laboratories, and they don't gene splice, but they bloom and place the follicles together, certain species. And when you plant that seed, whether it's a tomato or a pepper or any other fruit, it produces a particular fruit one time. And whatever, if it does produce after that, it's an aberration of that. So the heirloom seeds, whatever you plant this year will come next year, and they're going to be the best. And so you want to do that, whether it's your tomatoes or whether it's your beets or your carrots, you want to make sure that what you plant is not a hybrid where it breeds out specific qualities, taking away oftentimes flavor and sometimes taking away longevity. And so make sure that you pick an heirloom plant.
Well, I've never really stopped and thought about this, but according to Buck, 6 weeks before the last frost, Why, Chris, you can start getting things into the ground. And and of course, in the area where I live here along the coast, the central coast of California, why, that would be about now when there's certain things that you can actually get in the ground at the present time. Apparently beets. Why don't you give that list again of the various things that if you were in the proper area now, of course, up where Buck is, why, of course, it'd be somewhat later. He's up in Oregon. I'm in central California. And you can go to his website, seedcatalog.com. Seedcatalog.com, and you can actually find out what zone you're in. You need to know the zone you're in because that'll determine when you can actually start planting your crops. So basically, what are the things that could be put in 6 weeks before the last frost?
Okay. Before we address that, let me just remind your listeners that frost dates are often regional and localized, that you'll have microclimates all around you. So I would encourage your listeners to talk to their neighbors who are gardeners, or go to a local grange or the natural organic growers and find out what zone you're in. That you might find you're in zone 7, but there's a 7A and a 7B. And it's divided out by temperature. So make sure you get a hold of somebody in your area that gardens, and they'll know what the micro zone you're in. Generally, a zone chart will tell you what zone you're in. But if you have your peculiar weather patterns, like for us, that 10 miles away from us is in a different growing zone because we're in a micro zone here. So make sure you check with your local gardeners, and you'll get a better idea if you're going to put out your early plants. But for example, kale, it can go in as much as 8 to 10 weeks before last frost. Kale is a good early spring green. It's crisp. It's bright. It has great nutrients. And it can go in shortly after the first of the year, and then by the end of April be harvesting your kale. Lettuces of all kinds, loose lettuce, romaine lettuce, they all do well in cool temperatures. And you can put those out 8 weeks to 6 weeks before your last frost, and they'll do well. They'll take a hearty cold against them, even a freeze, and so that when the seeds sprout, they won't be damaged. Onions can go in as much as 10 weeks before last frost to get your onions in. In 6 weeks or less, you'll be harvesting your green onions. And those who want to harvest the bulbs themselves, it'll be a few months down the road. Brussels sprouts, another great early spring green that you can plant, and Brussels sprouts is one of my wife's favorites, and you can put those out 6 weeks before last frost. Cabbage, 6 weeks before last frost. Cauliflower, 6 weeks before last frost. Celery, 8 weeks before last frost. Spinach, 6 weeks before last frost. Broccoli, 6 weeks before last frost. Peas, 6 to 8 weeks before last frost. And you'll find you can also put out your beet 6 weeks before last frost, and your carrots 6 weeks before your last frost. So there's a good 25% or 30% of your garden, if you're an avid gardener, that you can get out and put in way before last frost and be harvesting fresh garden vegetables way before they're available in your supermarket or in your organic store, or certainly before your neighbors do if you're an avid gardener.
All right, fine. So this is the time now, because we're living right close to the ocean, so we really don't get that much in the way of frosting here. I mean, this is really very unusual weather. We've had hardly any rain so far. In fact, we have, other than being cold, we haven't had much of a winter.
Well, you know, it's been an unusual winter across the country that I observed the weather, you know, as a part of what we do. And the week before Christmas, that last year on that date, I believe it was the 21st, that last year 51% of the country had snow on the ground, and this year it was 17%, that we're having these really strange weather patterns. We're 8 inches below normal here in rainfall, and there's some indications that it may be a little tough year on gardening, and that one of the things that's absolutely vital and necessary for a garden to be successful is water. And if you're on a city water supply, which I would not recommend using city water anyway because of the chemicals they put in it, but if you're on a limited water supply that costs you or have a potential of being regulated on the amount that you get, it'd be a good thing for your listeners to start picking up rain barrels. Whatever rain that happens, when you consider the average roof on a 1,000 square foot house has 1,400 square foot of roof area. That's a lot of surface area that you can gather God's natural rain from, and the far superior way to garden your garden, and it'll save you a lot of money if you're buying your water by the gallon from the city. And it's very easy if you have gutters on your house to just cut the gutter and put an elbow on it and turn it into a rain barrel and fill up rain barrels, which can be had in secondhand 55-gallon drums for $5 or $10 each, and store up some water that you can put on your garden in case that this year does prove to be a year of sparse rainfall for gardens. So that's another way that you can guarantee that you're going to have a good crop and also regulate the amount that it costs you.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Buck, well, this is the time to get it answered. Buck is a champion gardener, and certainly this is what he does. He sells the seeds, but he also gardens himself, and he understands how it works, and you'll learn so much from Buck's website at seedcatalog.com. That's seedcatalog.com. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number right here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We got a question or comment. But it's time the American people begin understanding, you know, that vegetables and fruits and all these things don't come from the store. They come from the ground. And you need to know how these things should be handled and how these things should be grown. I think we're going to see some dramatic changes in America beginning this year. You know, for instance, I don't know how many of you noticed, but there's going to be a shortage of corn this year. Why? Because there's a shortage of seed, and they're going to have dramatic cutbacks in the amount of corn that will be planted in America because, of course, the droughts wiped out so much of the seed crop. Understand that we're living in truly, I believe, prophetic times. It just was during the Great Depression when there were shortages of food and certainly that farmers couldn't grow their crops and there were droughts. This has been the most unusual winter, certainly up in the Sierras. Ordinarily, we have a heavy snowpack. You know, last year, we had an excessive snowpack, and of course, our cities depend upon that snowpack for water for the people. And this year, well, many of the resorts in the Sierras in California are closing down. There's no snow. Why has everything changed? Why are we having suddenly snow? Why suddenly in many of the parts of the Midwest in Chicago are we not having the snow we've had in the past? Well, if you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But let's just stick with the general subject of gardening, and we've got Leslie calling from Tri-Cities, Washington. Hi, Leslie. Do you have a question or comment?
I did. I had a question. I just had to laugh. I got my seed catalog recently, and I was actually just making out my list for my personal seed bank and got up to take care of the laundry and thought, boy, I hope it's real soon that he talks to Buck again, and then you came on. But there's a dandelion green in the catalog, and it says that it's good, can be prepared like asparagus. It says that grown specifically for the Puntarelle buds in late winter, early spring. What are these buds?
They're unlike the dandelion that occurs naturally in your front yard that you fight if you're an avid lawn person. These do not put on the flowers. They're designed to be consumed and eaten and made tea. And those buds, they're very tender and tasty, supple fruit. And along with that they make excellent tea for a variety of things. The dandelion tea is one of my wife's favorite tea that we gather the greens and dry them and make tea out of. Those buds are a very tender, supple, ligament-type fruit on there. They're just an excellent source of nutrients and flavor. And you prepare those kind of like you would asparagus. You blanch them and serve them with a little butter on top or a little garlic if you like garlic, and they're a great food supplement.
Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You've got a question? 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. There's so much to learn, so little time to learn. Hang on there, Leslie. We'll be right back. Leslie, do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No. How's Barbara doing?
Oh, she's really doing ever so much better. She has just a week now for since she had her surgery on her shoulder.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
For 6 months or so, pulling them out anytime you want to, cover them over with straw. But the longer they stay in the ground, the sweeter they get. He's also pointing out that certainly as you start putting in your various things now, your beet greens, certainly, and the other turnip greens, why, of course, you can harvest those and eat them. So do you eat them like you do with a salad, or do you actually cook them as a... How would you eat your beet greens and your turnip greens?
When they're young and tender, I just add them to a salad, and they're a great addition to a salad, almost a spinach taste and texture. As they get more mature, they'll get less tender, and that's when I boil them. And most people who are greens eater, whether color greens or mustard greens or turnip greens or whatever, know that a little bit of salt pork for a flavor in there makes some of the greatest side dishes you'll ever have. That being from the South, as a kid, that greens was a staple in our life, and it's called soul food, and it's because it's a comfort food, and you'll really enjoy them. But the fresh ones I just cut up and throw in a salad with other fresh greens, dress them with a little olive oil and red wine vinegar, a little salt and pepper, and it makes a great table salad. And as they get older, when they get to be about 6 or 8 inches long on these leaves, they'll start to get a little more tough. And when they get a little more tough to where it's not an easy salad mix, what I do then is I boil them or steam them with a little bit of salt pork or bacon, and then have it as a side dish with whatever we're having for the meal. It makes a great meal.
You're talking about salt pork. I can remember we used to eat that 60, 65 years ago, that my folks used to use salt pork. I haven't seen any of that, even thought about it in 65 years.
Yeah. You can find that at most of your butcher stores. It's a fairly common thing at the market. But more common is ham hocks. That ham hocks in the contemporary times that we live, and the way they cure hams is not like it was, a generation ago. The hams that we have are water cured, where they inject water into them and other chemicals. But oftentimes you can find ham hocks, and they cut that hock off the ham before they put it through that process. And it'll have the skin and the connective tissue, the fat, and it makes a great addition for cooking greens. That, in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, everything that's green that you cook ought to have a little pork in it. The taste of the pork fat just to me makes it a perfect dish.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Of course, our guest is Buck Keeley. We're talking about getting prepared for the gardening. Why don't you get out your webpage and, of course, your telephone number at this point?
All right. Our webpage is seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com, all one word. And you'll type that into your address bar, and it'll take you directly to our store. Also, if you click on Dr. Stan's website under Heirloom Seeds, it'll take you to our store as well. And then our telephone number is toll-free, 888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132. And when you call, we'd be happy to take your order over the phone, walk you through the products that we have if you need explanation, or if you ask for a seed catalog, to send you out our latest seed catalog.
All right. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you got a question or comment, something you'd like to know about planting, because this is the time to start thinking about it. Certainly we're going to be into the planting season, other areas very soon, I guess right where I am, it's already time to start the early garden. But our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, and certainly if you're going to get seeds, get the heirloom seeds. Now, how would we know what type of carrots to plant? How would we know what specific type? Aren't there lots of types of carrots? Aren't there lots of types of tomatoes? How do we decide what brand they're going to have? Because I know you have a lot of different types of tomatoes.
Yes, the carrot choice is often based on taste. That we have some carrots that are designed for long storage. For an example, we have like the atomic red carrots. They're actually carrots that look like a beaten color, but they're shaped like a carrot and have a sweeter taste than the guaranteed taste of a yellow carrot. The Burklam carrot is a long carrot. It's like a fat cigar. It's not tapered, and it's a good slicer for canning. That if you want to have uniform slices, that you take and you cut the green off and the tip off and you run it to a mandolin, and you can have uniform carrots for canning where they all cook to the same level.
Hold that thought. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call.
While the storm This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
With seedcatalog.com and does help to support Radio Liberty, and we always enjoy having odd help basically as far as laying in supplies of seeds. You actually have a number of different seed programs that you have. Why don't you describe what you are actually offering people? They're not just offering us individual little packets of seeds, although they can get them from you by going to your website, seeing what you have and ordering that, but you certainly try to get people to buy a whole garden full of vegetables, and certainly depending upon the size of the garden, they get something different, and whether they're buying them for use this year or for long-term storage. So why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what you are offering people, and certainly I know that you have various fertilizers and other things you offer. So what are the items you're suggesting people get through you?
Well, like you said, that we're glad to sell you one pack of seed if you would like that. And just to your listeners, if you order a single pack of seed, we're not going to charge you the $4.50 shipping. We'll take care of that and we'll credit it back. That I'm not going to profit off somebody wanting one package of seed for $2 to pay $6 for it. So we're glad to put that in a first-class envelope and send it to you for, you know, for 50 cents versus doing the $4.50 shipping. We've had several of your folks that don't have large gardening areas who wanted just to plant a trial garden in their house. And so if you want to do that, just make a note on there and we'll take care of you, that we're not trying to profit off the shipping. We're just trying to break even. But if you want just a single pack, we'll do that to you. But I would encourage you that we put together what I call value packs. The value packs, you're going to get 25 or 30% discount off of the single pack price for the obvious reason you're buying more things, and it is more profitable for us to sell 30 packs of seed than it is one. And so we reduce the price in the garden packs. That we have a large backyard garden that if you have a 50 by 100 foot space, sufficient to plant that, and has everything from several varieties of tomatoes and peppers, both sweet and hot, to cucumbers and melons and peas and beans and the greens, lettuces and cucumbers. And it has a full variety that you would want in your garden that we pre-selected. And we put that in a pack and sell it to you where you have an out of the box garden where you don't have to go through and spend an hour picking your seed. We also have a small backyard garden. If your garden is smaller, a 20 by 30 or so, that's ideal. The same thing, it's a cross-section of all the things that you would like to have in your garden. A smaller number of varieties of the plants, but the same type of plants. You're going to get tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and beets and carrots and so forth. And then we have an urban garden, and that's what you got from us, Dr. Stan. It's more for people who do container gardening on their patios and in their small greenhouses or in their backyards with raised beds. And it's the same thing. It's a subset, but you won't find melons in there. If you've got a small garden, it's kind of hard to grow melons. I sent you some extra seed for the melons for you, but it doesn't have melons. And it's basically the only difference between those is the melons and, at the same time, the numbers of quantities that you get of varieties. And then we put together for folks who like tomatoes. We have some of God's best tomatoes that we sell. One of my favorites is the Cherokee Purple. It's a deep, dark purple color. It's a great, juicy slicer. One of my personal favorites, but we have one of all of our different tomatoes in the Tomato Lovers Pack, and then we have the Pepper Lovers Pack, which has a cross-section of sweet and hot peppers in it. And then we have an Herb Lovers Garden with people who want basil and mint and a variety of other herbs that you want to use to dry and season your food with or for medicinal purposes that are prepackaged. But on top of that, we sell seed banks. So one of the callers we talked to tonight mentioned that she was picking out her seed bank. We will sell you a basic seed bank, which contains enough seed and for vegetable matter and grain to plant over an acre of food. A personal seed bank, about a half acre of food. And then if you will spend $50 or more on individual packets, we'll pack that for free in Mylar. It's a 4.5 mill Mylar that we pack the seeds in and seal, which makes it impervious to moisture and insects. And then we put it inside a PVC pipe and we seal the ends of it up, which makes it impervious to moisture and other rodents that would happen to be around. And it's ideal for putting in your freezer for long-term storage or burying your backyard where you can keep the temperature uniform. And these seeds will stay good for years and years and years. That I would recommend people who buy a seed bank and who are planting a garden every year to plant their seed bank and order a new one rather than buying the seed for your garden. Plant your seed bank and start over, and that way you're guaranteed freshness. But at the very least, these seeds, after 10 to 12 years, will have a 70 to 80% germination rate. So it's the ultimate survival if something happens, just in case. But I encourage you to have that. Along with that, we sell seed sprouting kits and sprouting seeds for those who like to grow year-round inside their kitchen. And then we have Uncle Buck's fertilizer, which is an organic fertilizer, ideal for your gardening. And if you're transplanting, an ideal thing to do with that is to make a tea out of it. Put a cup of the fertilizer into a gallon of water, shake it up 4, 5, 6 times during the day, strain it out, then use a sprayer or a drip and put it over your transplant, and it'll fuse those ingredients immediately into your transplant and gives them a leg up. So that's kind of a cross-section of what we have, Dr. Stan.
All right. Well, my son actually gave me a sort of portable greenhouse, a plastic greenhouse, 6x6, for Christmas. And so basically, could we get started, utilizing that to start some of our planting with?
Absolutely. That we'll start planting. We're in a 7B growing zone, maybe an 8A, depending on the year. And our greenhouse planting will start next month in February. Where we start getting things ready to go into the garden. But you don't have to have a greenhouse to start your planting. I encourage all of your listeners who are interested in gardening to use what they have at hand. For an example, that you can set on your windowsill such things as onion seed, put them in a flat tray and sow them about 3 weeks or 4 weeks before you have to plant them, and then transplant them at 4 to 5 inch high transplant. And you'll get a jump on your onions, particularly if you're in a cooler climate. The size of the bulb that you get on an onion is determined how large the greens are at the longest day of the year, 16 to 18 hours a day. And if you have short green tops, you'll have small bulbs on your onions. So if you're in a cooler climate, it's ideal to sprout those on a windowsill. You don't have to have any auxiliary light to do that. Just put them on a windowsill. But for those of you who want to be avid gardeners, who want to start your own pepper plants and tomato plants indoor that 6 to 8 weeks before you transplant them into your garden, go down to the hardware store and buy an inexpensive fluorescent shop light, a 16-watt shop light, and set them once as you germinate your seed. Set that shop light right on top of your trays, and as your plants grow, keep it about an inch above your plants. It's not hot enough, it'll burn them, but it'll provide them with enough light to keep the plants from becoming leggy and growing thin stalks and tall, and give them enough artificial light that they'll grow healthy plants. Turn it off at least 6 hours a day. They need that darkness to do the magic work that God has them to do. But it doesn't take a greenhouse to get your plants started indoors. If you have a greenhouse, wonderful. Not only can you use it to start your plant, but if you're an avid gardener, you can extend your gardening season without adding any additional auxiliary heat a month each direction. That you'll have fresh greens a month before they could occur outside. And so set a section of that aside for things like lettuce and mustard greens and radishes and those kind of things that are early spring plants. Put them out as to the 6 or 8 weeks before last frost. Put them out in December. And by the end of January, you'll be having radishes and having fresh greens. If you have a greenhouse, it's a wonderful avenue to get a little source of extra food ahead of the curve.
Well, now, what about growing tomatoes in a greenhouse? Is this an advantage? In other words, you get them sooner to get them larger, to get them longer.
Well, the growing tomatoes in a greenhouse is, if you're in a cool climate, generally is the only way you're going to get ripe tomatoes. Several years ago, I lived in Maine, up in the northern part of Maine, and our last frost came in the middle of June, and our first frost came the first week of August. So we would never had ripe tomatoes in the garden. And so if you're in a cold climate, the only way you're going to get vine-ripe tomatoes is if you have a greenhouse. If you do greenhouse growing for your tomatoes, two warnings. Number one is you want to make sure that it doesn't get too hot. That it's amazing how fast that the sun will heat up a greenhouse. So make sure that you have plenty of ventilation, a fan to blow the heat out, because if you get too hot, it'll cause the tomato plant to set their blooms and not bloom anymore, because it'll sense that it's at the end of the season. So make sure that you keep your temperatures below 80 degrees and above 60 degrees in your greenhouse for tomatoes. Make sure you keep lots of nutrients on them. Container gardening, whether it's in a greenhouse or on your patio, depends on you to provide the nutrients for that soil. And those nutrients need to be a good, hearty, organic fertilizer, good mulch that you create from composting, and make sure you feed those plants regular. There are people in our area here that all they do is raise greenhouse tomatoes for resale at restaurants and organic stores. And they grow tomatoes from early spring through the late fall by providing the greenhouse environment for them. They never take them out of the greenhouse. So you could do that and extend your tomato growing from the season that you normally have, which it takes between 60 and 80 days for a tomato plant to mature and produce fruit. By transplanting them, you can get that down to about 45 to 50 days. And if you use a greenhouse, you can extend that out to where you have fruit that is not just limited by the last frost. So it's good to have a greenhouse. If you have one, use it. It'll be a blessing to you.
Well, now, basically, you have this fertilizer. What is in the fertilizer, and how often should we be applying the fertilizer to our plants? And again, our number, if you're out there, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, one thing I've learned from Buck is there's a difference between manure, Sydney, and fertilizer. So what's the difference between them, and when do you use each one?
Well, there's two aspects to feeding your plants. One is augmenting your soil. And augmenting your soil means that you take the condition of your soil and you raise the nutrient value of the soil. And depending where you live will determine what kind of soil you have and what it's been used for. But everyone to the composting. At our household, nothing goes into the trash that is organic. That we feed our chickens the leftovers that we don't consume, and we feed our garden the organic material that the chickens won't eat. And what the chickens eat and produce winds up on our garden. So everything has a circle of purpose. But everybody ought to have a compost pile, whether it's large or small. An ideal size for a compost pile is a 3 foot by 3 foot, and then bring it up high for a home gardener to manage. And to take things like newspaper and shred them, cardboard boxes and shred them, paper towels, the paper plates if you use them, newspaper that you watch and read, leftover food, vegetable matter, grass clippings, leaves that you rake in the fall, and all of that goes into your compost pile, and it produces an organic material. Naturally, it'll take a year to do that or less. If you use a tarp on it and keep it a little damp, it'll turn in 3 months or so. But you take that compost organic material and you work that into your soil. Another natural composter of God is a cow, and cow manure is an excellent augmentation for your soil. Chicken manure, if you have them, is an excellent augmentation. You just want to let that set for 3 to 6 months before you put it on your garden. If you put it on before it's set, the nitrogen is hot and it'll burn your plants. Rabbit manure is the premium as far as manures that you use, and the golden standard is your worm casting. But all of those you put into your soil and you work it into the 3 to 6 inch level, and you've got your soil ready for your plants. Then you plant your plants, and just before you plant your plants, take a good organic organic fertilizer and a good base for our fertilizer. What we use a mixture of seed meal and bone meal and calcium and lime, and we use organic volcanic matter that has 76 different base nutrients in it that we add with it, the nutrients in the soil, and you're after those nutrients. And here's a little tip for your gardeners that will help them that the old-time farmers knew about. If you'll take a little black strap molasses, you can get that down at the grain store, the feed store, for about $10 or $12 for 3 to 5 gallons, depending where you live. The black strap molasses is what's left over for making sugar. It's a byproduct. The black strap molasses is not sweet like you would buy for putting on your biscuits, but it's used to augment cow feed. If you'll take about a cup of that and mix it in with a gallon of hot water and then spray that on your garden after you put your fertilizer down, your plants in, it'll cause the microorganisms to thrive. And the microorganisms is what devours organic material in your garden and produces nutrients for your plants. And it's a very easy solution, very inexpensive, and it'll give you some of the most amazing results in your plants. And so I encourage you to do that as well. And after the plants take place, you want to fertilize them when you transplant them. And when they start to produce fruit, take a handful and go around the base of the plant, whether it's tomatoes or peppers or cucumbers or whatever you're growing. If it's row crops, such as if you're growing bush beans and row crops, just spread a handful down the row. And as you water, the nutrients from that organic fertilizer will leach into the soil. Really avid gardeners who are seeking to grow the very best product will use teas. And basically that's taking your fertilizer or your worm castings or your manure, and you saturate it with water and aerate it by pouring it back and forth in buckets for a day. And that causes, and to that add a little bit of molasses too, and that causes the microorganisms to grow like crazy. And then you strain that out, and what you strain out, you throw out into your garden as an augmentation. And then within 24 hours, because after that the microorganisms begin to break down, within 24 hours, spray that around your plant, and it's an immediate shot. It's a power boost, a power drink for your plants, but immediately that goes into the roots, and as they're producing the fruit, gives them a more depth ability to produce great fruit.
Well, there's just so many ideas and tricks, and basically, would you spray that on? Would you just pour that on? How would you get it on?
Yeah, you can just, if you've got a large garden, I'd recommend getting a sprayer, and don't do a mist, but do a stream and just spray it around the base of the plant. If you got a small garden, put it in a garden 2 gallon pail with a pour head on it, and pour maybe a pint or less of that on each plant, and it'll do a great job. It goes directly to the roots, And particularly when you're transplanting, it's a real advantage. Your commercial greenhouses that use total carbon and other things for their fertilizer, they use liquid forms because when they transplant, it gives an immediate boost to the root. And you're just taking a natural product doing the same thing.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been Buck Keeley. Buck, why don't you get your telephone number and your website out one more time.
Website, go to your address bar and type in seedcatalog.com, all one word, seedcatalog.com. If you'll call us at toll-free 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132. We'll be glad to take your call and receive your order over line or to send you out a catalog or help you with any questions you have.
And, of course, if you can't remember all that, just go to my webpage, radiodeputy.com. Go to the front page and scan down to Heirloom Seeds and click on it, and you'll be on Buck's website. Well, Buck, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, let me sign off tonight.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Vegetables and fruits, and well, certainly our recommendation is give it serious consideration. We live in an uncertain world, and the lessons you learn now may help you a great deal in the time that lies ahead. And of course, we've used Buck's products. We used them the last couple of years. Really very, very pleased with them ourselves. So remember, if you can't remember Buck's telephone number, just go to our website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Scroll down on the front page. You'll see the heirloom seeds. You'll take you right to his website. And then, of course, we certainly hope that you, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll get it and begin to grasp the enormity of the enemy that we face today. Then, of course, we hope that if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, that you'll certainly get the book of John and start reading about the claims that Jesus Christ made about himself. That you start reading the book of John, and then, of course, we recommend if you don't have a minister, or even if you do, get some of certainly Pastor Billy Crone's DVDs, and certainly he has one called The Final Countdown. It goes into all the prophecies made thousands of years ago that you can actively see fulfilled today. The Final Countdown, now I think there are 10 or 11 DVDs there, part one that's in two parts. But they're not that expensive, and everyone ends with a invitation to have a personal relationship with our Lord. We carry actually several others. One of them is, Who Says the Bible is True? Who Says the Bible is True? That's a three DVD set. We carry The Fearful Creation and The Judged Creation. Each one of those, I think, 10 or 11 DVDs. We recommend them to you, and you can get them by by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Why is that important? I mean, after all, we've got a presidential election coming up this year, and isn't it important to get a good president? And I would tell you, we could have certainly elect nothing but Christians to Congress, and it really wouldn't make that much difference. We've got to change the hearts of our people, or else God is going to bring his judgment on this nation. Our leaders, the invisible government, the Brotherhood of Darkness, is planning on taking us into a war with Iran. How do I know that for certain? Because I read the plan, and you can read it too. It's in the January-February issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's an article by a man named Kronick. He used to be a key Deputy Undersecretary on Iranian Affairs, and I can't remember whether it was Department of State or Department of Defense. Now he's a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. But the title is, of the article, It's Time to Attack Iran. Read the article through very, very carefully, and then read it through again. You'll find out that there really is no threat to America or to Israel from Iran. But we're going to attack them anyway. It's only going to be a surgical strike. It's not going to be a war, just a little surgical strike. But, of course, the difficulty is that many times you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And the people who are starting this war want a major conflict. Why would any rational individual want a major conflict? Because they want to kill millions of people. That's why we had World War One, to kill millions of people so we could have a world government. Why did they want World War Two, and why did they finance Adolf Hitler and bring him to power? Because they wanted to kill millions of people and have a world government. And they succeeded. They killed about 60 million. But the next war, ladies and gentlemen, the war that's coming would be far more of a disaster. Please pray for America. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion and delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, a former senior editor of the New American Magazine, now managing editor of the Republic Magazine, and certainly he has his own blog. But he does write my monthly newsletter. It just gives me additional time for some of the other things I need to do. He's doing a magnificent job with that. I hope you're enjoying William Grigg's Radio Liberty letter. But, William, how are you today?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing terrific, and I really appreciate your kind words, and it's always a blessing to be with you.
What are we going to be talking about tonight?
I think that it's worthwhile to talk about some of the things that have been happening in the last week that illustrate the truth of what you say about the way that reality is manipulated by the people who run the media. Just in the last week or so, there have been several really significant disclosures or examples having to do with the way that reality is sculpted on behalf of the power elite. I don't know if you've had a chance, Dr. Stan, to talk about the case of Corporal Jesse Thornson. He's the supporter of Dr. Paul's candidacy, who had caucused on behalf of Ron Paul's campaign last Tuesday during the Iowa caucuses. He was interviewed on CNN as the votes were being tallied, and in what may be arguably a violation of some of the administrative rules having to do with decorum for an active duty soldier. He's active duty U.S. Army. He's been to Iraq. He's been to Afghanistan. He's heading back to Afghanistan. He was interviewed at a polling place wearing fatigues. I don't know why he chose to wear fatigues. I don't know how serious this would be. It's certainly not a unique occurrence, but, of course, it's a technical violation of some administrative policy having to do with maintaining an apolitical military. He didn't speak on behalf of the military, but he was wearing the uniform. In any case, he was speaking on CNN to a reporter by the name of Dana Bash on live feed from Iowa. He lasted about a minute and a half, and just as he got to the point where he was talking about how there's no reason to go to war with Iran, there was a sudden technical glitch that developed. There was no indication prior to this that there was any kind of a problem with the feed. You're not dealing with something that's out of the ordinary. I mean, for heaven's sake, they've been doing live interviews of this sort from Iowa to Washington or Iowa to New York for literally decades. But suddenly the image froze up as if somebody hit a pause button on the DVD player, and Wolf Blitzer, who was at the campaign headquarters at CNN, said, well, we've got a technical glitch. Unfortunately, we've lost the feed. We're going to have to go now to, I believe, was the Mitt Romney headquarters to get the results from that perspective. This really strikes me as obvious and heavy-handed real-time censorship. I honestly believe somebody at CNN, probably working with the successor to the Pentagon group, the Office of Strategic Influence, which was supposedly shut down in 2002 but mutated into something else in 2004, exercised editorial intervention in order to divert the camera from this active duty soldier saying that we don't need to go to war with Iran.
You see, the official policy of the Brotherhood of Darkness, the people who really run our nation, is, of course, to want to take us into this war with Iran. And certainly all the political candidates other than Ron Paul favor a war with Iran. After all, don't we have to defend ourselves? Do we want Iran to get the bomb and then take off Israel and then come after us? After all, if we don't go over there and destroy them, they're going to come over here and destroy us, or at least that's the official party line. Right ahead, William.
As you say, Dr. Stan, that is the official party line, to wit, that unless we go to war against Iran, and actually we have been at war with Iran, in one form or another for decades, and by we, of course, I'm making the mistake of associating the American people with the folks who presume to rule us, and in a more narrow focus, the government of the United States has been at war with Iran for several years in terms of a low-grade paramilitary and subversion campaign being waged by way of this bizarre Islamo-Leninist cult, the Mujahideen al-Khalq, which has been carrying out various activities of sabotage and espionage, disinformation on behalf of the United States government. This is a group that actually killed American citizens back in the 1970s and helped to overthrow the Shah and was part of the coalition with Khomeini and was banished from that coalition. Out of, I believe, irreconcilable ideological differences, the people who are running the MEK, the so-called People's Mujahideen, are Leninists who use the cloak of Islam in much the same way that practitioners of liberation theology used Roman Catholicism in order to disguise their agenda. That's what the MEK is like. They're even worse, quite frankly, than the government that is running Iran right now, as bad as it is. And that's been the trend since 1953. Progressively worse governments have been installed in that country at the behest of U.S. intelligence and British intelligence. If the people trying to bring about this war with Iran succeed, in some sense, in bringing down that government, that replace it with something even worse. That's been the history. And you're right that the party line here is that we have to go to war with Iran because it supposedly is a globe-destroying colossus of evil. You're dealing with a country here that has a gross domestic product smaller than that of Norway, in spite of the fact that it's an oil-rich country, a country with no small amount of resources. Their economy is being systematically destroyed. They're being put into a box now with respect to the petroleum economy and with respect to their ability to conduct international commerce. This is a country that does have to import a great deal of what it consumes. And these sanctions that have been presumptuously inflicted on Iran by the United States Congress, and I believe that that act was signed on the last day of 2011, which is a very busy day for Mr. Obama. That was the same day he signed the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, which incorporates provisions permitting the indefinite military detention of American citizens here in what would become the battle zone. It had been, of course, a republic, and then it became the homeland, and now it's a battle zone. On that same day, he signed into what they are pleased to call law, a measure imposing sanctions on Iran, and that is, as Dr. Paul has pointed out, an act of war. Historically, if you're going to interdict somebody's commerce...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Neil William is talking about Iran and the fact that we're really already at war with Iran. We've been at war with Iran for some time, but they haven't told the American people. Basically, we have sanctions on Iran. Sanctions on Iran is an act of war. Certainly within the last 2 months, somebody blew up one of their whole military facilities, almost like a small town. Iranian said, it must have been some sort of an accident. You know, well, the Iranians are simply covering for this. They don't want to say that America or the Mossad attacked this major military facility, but if you've seen the pictures of it, it's obvious it was destroyed. That is an act of war. Somebody's over there actually killing their scientists and killing many of the leaders of the country, the politicians. That's an act of war. We've actually put sanctions on as far as their banking is concerned, so their banks cannot certainly engage in banking with the rest of the world. The value of their currency has fallen 15-20%, maybe even more than that, in the last few weeks. That is an act of war. We've been financing a terrorist organization, a communist terrorist organization known as MEK, M, capital E, capital K, and we gave them some $400 million several years ago to destabilize the Iranian government. How would you feel if somebody were to give, say, a subversive group $4 million to destabilize the American government? Would be an act of war. Well, this is what we did with Iran. Nobody wants to talk about it. It was an act of war. The average American doesn't understand. We were at war with Japan long before December 7th because of the sanctions we put on them, because we limited their access to oil, because, of course, the attack that we had actually launched economically against Japan. All of these were acts of war, and certainly what happened on December 7th, 1941 was simply the Japanese response to the attack on Japan by American policy. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted a justification for the war. We won't get into the background of what happened on December 7th, 1941, but we do have an excellent four-tape set there where we go into the background of the fact that they knew the attack was coming. They knew where the Japanese fleet were. They specifically did not put certainly Pearl Harbor on the alert because we had to have a lot of Americans killed to get the American people willing to go to war. And on December 6, 1941, the American people didn't want to go to war. The last thing they wanted was to go to war. On December 8, 1941, everybody was ready to go to war.
Yeah.
Certainly it was exactly the same thing on September 10th, 2001. Nobody wanted to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq on Sydney, September 12th, 2001. Why? The American people were flying flags and singing God Bless America, and we were ready to go over there and attack Afghanistan, despite the fact that 15 of the the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. It didn't matter. Our leaders told us it was, of course, the fault of Al-Qaeda. They told it was the fault of some fellow named Osama bin Laden, and who was incidentally from Saudi Arabia. But that's why we had to attack Afghanistan. You pick up the story there.
Not only, of course, were we told that we had to attack Afghanistan, in spite of the fact that you're dealing, according to the official narrative, with all these people that are from Saudi Arabia, but the Taliban that was in charge of Afghanistan, the de facto government of that country, wasn't internationally recognized in terms of membership in multilateral organizations, but it was a government for the purposes of receiving an ultimatum from President Bush, so to that extent it should be considered a governing body with respect to such niceties as a declaration of war and so forth. But the Taliban had been trying for months to get rid of Osama bin Laden and had been doing everything it possibly could to get the United States government to help get rid of this unwanted guest. It wasn't a guest, really, dealing with somebody who was an interloper, a squatter. And the Taliban had been receiving aid from the United States through counter-narcotics programs and such like, so there was a relationship there that could have been exploited for the purpose of getting a hold of Osama bin Laden, who by that time had been indicted extraterritorially by the Justice Department for his alleged role in the 1998 terror bombings in Africa. It's interesting, we pointed this out, you pointed this out on many occasions, Dr. Stan, he was never identified by the FBI as a prime suspect in the 9/11 attack, but he was wanted for the bombings in 1998 in Africa. But the thing is, among the people who were passionately committed to war against Afghanistan at that time was this individual named Jesse Thorson, who's now a corporal in the United States military. On his neck, he has a tattoo of the Twin Towers, and I believe he has Never Forget also stenciled on his neck as a tattoo, by way of displaying his permanent commitment to remember the Americans who were murdered on that horrible morning. And he was the fellow who was speaking from Ron Paul's campaign headquarters Tuesday night in Iowa and talking about the fact that he would prefer to see a peacetime military, that we've been at war for 10 years, or at least he's been at war for 10 years. The op tempo is destroying the United States Army, and he, like many other people, support the idea that we should have a non-interventionist foreign policy, and he's perfectly mortified by the prospect of getting involved in a war with Iran. And just as he was saying that, of course, the feed was interrupted. He was saying that Israel is perfectly capable of taking care of itself if Iran did pose a threat. And what's really interesting is that the incumbent head of the Mossad, which, whatever you think of the other things that it does, is a very competent intelligence agency, has said on the record for public consumption that Iran is not an existential threat to Israel. Even if Iran were in possession of a nuclear weapon, it wouldn't pose an existential threat to Israel. And in the last week, we've seen some gamesmanship having to do with an Iranian threat, very fleeting and insincere threat, to close down the Strait of Hormuz, which is something they wouldn't want to do because it would be economically devastating for them as well as for the rest of the world, in response to threats and bellicosity directed at them by the United States and by Israel.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is, of course, we want, of course, the Europe to embargo Iranian oil. In other words, we want Europe to stop buying oil from Iran. The trouble is if Europe stops buying oil from Iran, the price of fuel in Europe will skyrocket.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the Europeans are dependent upon Iranian oil and oil that comes to the Straits of Hormuz. And the last thing they would want to do from their point of view would be to cut off their oil supply from Iran, which is one of the major suppliers of oil to Europe. So why in heaven's name are we trying to pressure Europe into stop buying Iranian oil? It would only hurt Europe, won't hurt us, because we don't get our major oil from there. So what we want to do is sacrifice Europe so we can bring pressure on Iran for a non-existent threat. Incidentally, is that the current or the previous leader of the Mossad?
The previous leader of the Mossad.
Right, who said that
the previous leader of the Mossad had said after he left his post that Iran was not a threat. The current leader of Mossad, the incumbent, has said that Iran is not an existential threat as well. Both of them have said, both on record. But this is the first time you've actually had an active incumbent head of Mossad say that. And that's why this is so dramatic, I think, is the fact that now, for public consumption, this individual is willing to admit something that had been said behind the scenes or after the fact by people who previously held that post. Really, the official position of the Mossad that Iran is not a threat to Israel, in spite of what's going on with respect to the conflict with Hezbollah and some of the other things that are happening in places like Lebanon and Iraq. Iran does not threaten Israel's existence, which, of course, is a line that we're getting said by the likes of Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum. Now, Rick Santorum, who calls himself a pro-lifer, gave a speech. We talked about this before as well, last October in New Hampshire, where he was celebrating the fact that there was this campaign of assassination and disruption going on in Iran, how there are Iranian scientists and presumably Russian scientists and scientists from other nationalities who just show up dead. He said it's a wonderful thing. And he also celebrated the fact that you have the Obama administration now killing U.S. citizens by missiles that are fired by drones in places like Yemen and Somalia. And he mentioned the death of Anwar al-Awlaki and how this is a terrific illustration of how serious we are, because if the government of the United States is willing to kill an American citizen, then nobody is safe. This guy is purportedly a pro-lifer, purportedly a constitutionalist.
But remember, of course, 2 weeks later, why, of course, Al-Awlaki's son, 16-year-old boy, when they're looking at his father, was also killed independently, along with the man with him, by an American drone. And so basically, there was no crime committed by this boy, but the whole idea is, we're not only going to kill you, we're going to kill everyone in your family as an example for everybody else. How do you justify killing an innocent 16-year-old boy who's looking for his father?
Yeah, and once again, this is a fellow, Mr. Santorum, who finished either tied with or ahead of, you know, effectively tied with or ahead of Rick, of Mitt Romney in the Iowa caucus last Tuesday. I mean, they were supposedly separated by a dozen votes or a baker's dozen of votes. And there's been some controversy here as to whether the numbers were added up correctly, and perhaps Rick Santorum ended up at the top of that statistical dead heat. But this is somebody who had been promoted by the media, tirelessly flogged by the media in the days leading up to the caucus. They were selling him on the basis of the bandwagon effect. He's surging. His popularity is growing. Of course, that was nonsense. He was speaking to empty houses, empty rooms in Iowa, but people did what the media told them to do at the caucuses. They went and they cast their lot for Rick Santorum, because supposedly he had been certified as the guy who was surging at the last minute. That's how opinion is created.
Well, of course, but remember, the Christian community was targeted. There was an effort to get the Christians, you know, was saying Rick Santorum is pro-Israel. And suddenly, Ron Paul doesn't want to defend Israel. Ron Paul wants to let them wipe Israel off the face of the map. We've got to back Rick Santorum. And unfortunately, the Christians, I'm an evangelical Christian, God love them, but they're terribly gullible when it comes to Israel. Go right ahead.
On that thought.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Part of an afternoon with Gary Bauer, one-on-one, when he was in the White House, and I was concerned about the AIDS epidemic, and he pretended to be concerned about the AIDS epidemic. I'd always had a great deal of respect for him, until I realized he was part of this neoconservative movement, intent upon plunging us from war to war to war, and of course working with this power elite that is dedicated to this one world government project. Of course, I mean, here's one of the major advisors to Ronald Reagan, and that's where I spent, as they say, I was with him in his office there for a good time, a good part of an afternoon at the White House. Must have been, well, it would have been what, 87, 88, somewhere in there. And but basically, he is actually a member of the Project for the New American Century, whose job it was to manipulate the Christians of this country. They had, of course, Gary Bauer to manipulate the Protestant Christians. They had William Bennett to manipulate the Catholics. They had Irving Kristol and one other Jewish person to manipulate the Jewish population to get them all behind the concept of going to war. And they started writing about the necessity of taking us into these various wars in the late 1990s. This was all planned ahead of time, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, as the Project for the New American Century said in their treatise, Rebuilding America's Defenses, and you can find this certainly up on their website, Project for the New American Century, or you can find this in my syllabus entitled Iraq, the Untold Story. I just took their treatise on rebuilding America's defenses, and they talk about how difficult it's going to be able to get the American people to be willing to go to war unless there is an incident like a new Pearl Harbor. And if you want the documentation, where to find this all, simply go to your search engine and type in Radio Liberty Project for the New American Century, New Pearl Harbor. Go right ahead.
It's interesting, once again, to talk about Pearl Harbor as a template for what's going on with Iran right now. I appreciate the fact, Dr. Stan, that you've mentioned the duplicitous diplomacy of the FDR regime back in the 1930s, in which it deliberately provoked a war with Japan. It's interesting, if you pull back on the thread from Pearl Harbor back to the late 1890s, you see that it had been the policy of the ruling elite in the United States to cultivate the militarist regime in Japan. And you have people, for instance, Teddy Roosevelt in the early 1900s, talking about how Japan was going to be ruled by this military junta, this imperial cadre, that would make it sort of a subcontractor in what would they would later call the Greater East Asia Prosperity Sphere. You had William Taft as an emissary to Japan in, I believe, 1907 at the bay there at Nagasaki, leading a bonsai cheer in honor of the Imperial Japanese military and the emperor. And, of course, Hiroshima, just a generation later, was reduced to radioactive rubble, killing off almost the entire Christian population of that country that had been driven into Hiroshima by persecution by the militarist regime. But the really interesting thing is they cultivated that regime, and then a generation later they fought this devastating war, and the prelude to that war involved cutting off Japan's access to raw materials, and this was part of the famous strategy of trying to push them into firing the first shot without, of course, seeing that they were being pushed, provoke them into firing the first shot without having the provocation be obvious for public consumption. They're doing the same thing with Iran right now. And with going on with the Strait of Hormuz, the vice president of Iran and one admiral in the Iranian Navy, which is not a very impressive fleet by any stretch of the imagination, was talking about how it would be easy as drinking a glass of water to shut down the strait, and that immediately the head of the the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the elite element of that military, walked that comment back because they did not want to be seen as provoking the United States. Now, supposedly, the Revolutionary Guard in Iran was so bold they were trying to arrange an assassination in Washington, D.C., but here in literally their backyard, they're trying to avoid provoking the United States. Iran is not an aggressor in any sense, but the people in Washington are trying to play the Pearl Harbor card, and quite likely this year they're going to succeed in arranging a war with Iran.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's only a matter of time. This is obviously their plan. Read this article in Foreign Affairs magazine, Time to Attack Iraq, by Mr. Kronick. That's the January-February 2012 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine. If you want to know what is going to happen, read what the elite say among themselves.
Let us swear allegiance.
Well, William, you go right ahead.
It's important to recognize, as you say, Dr. Stan, that the elites, and it's difficult to find a more definitive elite than the Council on Foreign Relations, and a more suitable digest of what that elite is thinking than Foreign Affairs. When they publish an article carrying the unambiguous title, Time to Attack Iran, they're obviously talking about an imperative. They're not simply speaking to the wind. They're talking about something that they want to see take tangible form. What I find really bizarre is that the so-called pious religious right is willing to raise the ante here. There was a piece on WorldNet Daily last week by Larry Klayman. Some of you are probably familiar with Larry Klayman, entitled Time to Nuke Iran. And Larry Klayman was presuming to speak on behalf of Iranian expatriates, naturalized Americans of Iranian ancestry here, saying that they are perfectly fine with the prospect of this devastating, potentially genocidal attack on their homeland. They're willing to pay that price because the time has simply come that we have to take out this insurgent neo-Nazi regime in Iran that supposedly threatens the entire world, beginning with Israel. It's perfectly demented. But apparently, that's where the marker has been placed now. They're willing to move that narrative ahead and outbid the Council on Foreign Relations in terms of the bloodshed they're willing to countenance. I honestly believe that Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, perhaps even Mitt Romney, would be willing to countenance that type of a policy option. You keep hearing people say that all options are on the table. And by all options, they're not merely talking about an aggressive, preemptive war against Iran. They're talking about the use of tactical nukes. That's something that was actually overtly discussed in the 2008 Republican debates during the primary season in that election cycle. And none of these people have ever repudiated or retracted their endorsement of preemptive nuclear war against Iran. And once again, the outlier here is Ron Paul. In 2008, he was saying it would be perfect lunacy to be waging preemptive war against Iran, let alone preemptive nuclear war. But yet, that's where the conversation is now, and I think it's only going to get worse from here, particularly as our relationship with Iran grows more freighted, and we see a successful and escalating effort to strangle their economy and put them into a desperate frame of mind where they're likely to do something that can be seized upon and embellished and exaggerated and misrepresented into a casus belli. That's something that...
Hold that thought here. Where do you go right ahead?
One of the things that happened this week as well that illustrates the media manipulation of our reality was a bit of candid video that was taken, I believe it was yesterday morning, just before Mr. Obama presented his new national defense strategy, the so-called Defense Strategic Review. There was a camera rolling as the CNN film crew waited for this event to occur live, and the press gaggle was speaking amongst themselves. And in the foreground, you could overhear a conversation among, I think, three people, two men and one woman, and one of them was talking about the fact that there was this anticipation of some kind of a dramatic reallocation of resources. And what we've seen, of course, is that the defense strategy being embraced by the Obama administration, which isn't that different from what Wolfowitz and company were promoting under Rumsfeld during the Bush administration, would talk about drawing down the troop strength and expanding the high-tech realm of imperial power projection, meaning, of course, more unmanned drones and greater reliance on sophisticated long-distance warplanes, both bombers and fighter planes, but not significantly realigning the priorities here. They'd still be in the business of global power projection and imperial overstretch. But these reporters were talking about this, and one of them said, referring, of course, to all these gathered minions and scribes and flacks and hacks and lick spittles who can constitute the White House press corps and the defense oriented or military-oriented gaggle of correspondents. He said, see this room? Two-thirds of us are laid off when Ron Paul is president. Now think about that for a second. These are people who make their living as second or third hand parasites, you know, remoras battening onto the vast great white shark of the military industrial complex. And in a candid moment, which was captured by a microphone they obviously didn't know was live and hot, one of them said that if Ron Paul is elected president and somehow imposes a strict constitutional model on the foreign policy and military policy and priorities of the United States government, then two-thirds of those people are going to have to be laid off because we're not going to be involved in this hyperkinetic exercise in regimenting the world through military occupation and violence. This is a really good illustration of what I call the military-industrial media complex. Almost all of the major media, the major newspapers, of course, the major broadcast media, the satellite, or the cable news networks, MSNBC and NBC being major illustrations of this, they're part of these vertically integrated corporate entities that are involved, often in very significant ways, in military procurement. And they certainly stand to profit handsomely whenever there's conflict, and they tend to suffer financially when we avoid conflict through intelligent and constitutionally appropriate diplomacy. So obviously, a military that's that entangled with, that intertwined with the affairs of imperial power projection is not going to give fair and honest treatment to a candidate who's talking about radically reducing the imperial reach of the United States government, let alone, of course, somebody who's talking about trying to rein in government in a full spectrum fashion, both domestically and abroad. And, of course, one of the things that we saw just in the last couple of weeks was this interview, so-called interview. Of course, it was a case of ambush pseudo-journalism by a CNN correspondent whose husband is employed by a public relations firm, that is to say a propaganda shop, that's employed by the Pentagon for the purpose of tuning the American public atmosphere in a way that's supposed to be receptive to the interests of the so-called Department of Defense. And, of course, what she did was she regurgitated all these potted platitudes and falsehoods about these old and completely inconsequential newsletters that were published by Ron Paul decades ago about controversies that are long dead and not particularly well understood by people living today, people who are politically active today, I should say. I mean, most of the people that Ron Paul is attracting to his movement, not merely his candidacy, but his larger movement, are young people. You take a look at the demographic breakdown in Iowa, roughly half. There were six candidates in the race, remember. Roughly half of the, I believe, under 30 voters who cast ballots there in the caucuses. These are self-selected Republicans of a conservative bent, for the most part, but they're independents that were brought into this process. Well, roughly half of them voted for Ron Paul out of the six candidates who were running. He's the only candidate who is bringing in a significant number of new voters, most of whom were young. College age, young adult, young married couples, people of that sort. And the thing is, people of that generation are of a different frame of mind with respect to social issues in many ways, even the socially conservative ones, than people, say, my age or older. I'm in my late 40s. And most of these people were either in swaddling clothes or in grade school back in the late 1980s or early 1990s, when the controversies over political correctness were causing tumult and mayhem here in the United States. It was in the context of those times when the racial and ethnic spoil system and the politics of sexual orientation and so forth were new and freighted and fraught and highly controversial, highly contentious, and many of the things that are being exhumed and orphaned from their context from the Ron Paul newsletters have to do with the racial politics that had been promoted by the activist left on college campuses and in federal bureaucracies and so forth. You only get to see what was said in reaction to even more outrageous things that were being said and done by the other players in these controversies. And there are many horrible and hideous things that were said by the other side that had to do with the idea of creating, through government intervention, a different social order here with respect to all of these questions and creating a hierarchy where people would be assigned to a particular collective on the basis of ethnicity or some other characteristic. But the thing is, all that they want to do is get out their scissors and tweezers and paste pot, put together this paper mache caricature of what was said, and use this as a way of putting Ron Paul in a bad light with his natural constituency, which is to say young, liberty-minded, politically active people who don't know anything about those controversies because they really didn't live through that period of time or they weren't politically conscious of what was going on. And here's another really good example of that same type of thing being done today, in the last couple of days, at the expense of Ron Paul, and more importantly, as a way of trying to undermine the movement. Whether or not he wins the nomination, the important point here is that simply by being so conspicuous and having such political traction in the Republican campaign, the Republican tilt for the nomination, talking about the Constitution, talking about a non-interventionist foreign policy, daring to talk about that gravest and most enigmatic of topics, which is the Federal Reserve, its origins, and the nasty things that are going on that front. Really, by talking about those things and catalyzing the attention of young people, Ron Paul is having a very salutary effect on our political system. But in the last couple of days, there's this perfectly hideous so-called ad, which is actually a YouTube video, that was put together supposedly by anonymous Ron Paul supporters in New Hampshire that cast aspersions on John Huntsman, who's a candidate for whom I don't have any particular respect. He's a former governor of Utah. One thing about Huntsman that is interesting is that he served his LDS church mission in, I believe, Taiwan, and he's fluent in Chinese, at least more than passively fluent. And there's a brief clip of him speaking in Chinese. And there's this very crude attempt to say that he's a Manchurian candidate. He's an agent of influence for China. And then what's really ugly, of course, is that it's talking about the fact that he's adopted girls from China and from India and trying to create some kind of an insinuation that this is part of some grand plot to promote Chinese interests here in the United States. Now, there are things that the Chinese government is doing to promote its interests in this country that are bad, but they don't have anything to do with the adopted daughters that the Huntsman family has brought into their household. But this ad was produced by supposedly somebody who's a Ron Paul supporter. It turns out it's almost certainly something that has been produced by the Huntsman campaign. But that's not the headline you're seeing today. The headlines that have been on the Huffington Post and in some of the papers in Utah talk about how this Ron Paul ad is attacking the family of John Huntsman.
But wait a minute now. Basically, Bush, if you run an ad for a candidate, why the candidate at the end says, I approve of, I'm Ron Paul and I approve of this ad. And never said that, did he?
No, he never did. As a matter of fact, when asked about it, the spokesman, Jesse Benton, for the Ron Paul campaign said, it's disgusting. It's stupid. We had nothing to do with it. And whoever put it up should be ashamed of himself and should take it down. The Huffington Post tried to contact the people who posted this to YouTube, who, of course, are studiously anonymous, and they made the claim that the campaign had told them not to talk to the press, which, of course, is completely unverifiable and utterly false. And as it turns out, some people have exhumed the IP information, the internet provider information, dealing with the upload and connected it to, in all likelihood, the Huntsman campaign. It has nothing to do with the Ron Paul campaign or anybody who's a supporter, an informal supporter of Ron Paul. But the purpose of this, I am convinced, is sort of a Karl Rovian black propaganda trick. One of the things that Karl Rove did as a political operative for Nixon and some other people he worked for over the last couple of decades was to create these incidences, these false flag type operations in which the candidate he was working for would be targeted by some scurrilous and nasty and unfair trick that was actually carried out by Karl Rove in the campaign. And I don't know if you're dealing with Karl Rove as the instigator or the inspiration of this, or somebody who simply studied that playbook, but this is a classic example of this. This is not something that will persuade anybody to oppose John Huntsman, but this is somebody that would certainly put Ron Paul into a bad odor with people who react to scurrilous and unfair and demeaning attacks that have nothing to do with the political position of a political candidate. And this, of course, happens on the eve of the New Hampshire primary. And it gave John Huntsman a splendid opportunity to stand up before a group of people and expound on the iniquity and disgustingness of what had been done to his campaign, when in all likelihood it was done by somebody attached to his campaign. And this all follows within a day or so of John Huntsman getting the endorsement of the Boston Globe newspaper, saying that he would be the perfect national unity candidate for the Republican Party. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that nationally, Huntsman's pulling in the single digits. He's, I think, at about, 12%, between 12 and 16% or less in New Hampshire. He's probably fourth or fifth. He's certainly ranking below Romney and, I believe, Paul's second. I think Santorum's third in the current polls in New Hampshire. But all this, once again, is done for the purpose of traducing Ron Paul and associating him in the mind of the public with something that's already in foul odor, which is bigotry. And all this is happening, as you predicted and a number of other people predicted, after Ron Paul's message started to find favor with that cohort of people who were susceptible to sound arguments and compelling arguments about human freedom, and most importantly, after Ron Paul had made a point of stalwartly and correctly opposing the drive for war with Iran. There's absolutely nothing in Ron Paul's positions about the prospective war in Iran that is out of sync with what has been determined by responsible people in the so-called intelligence community, the National Intelligence Estimate of the United States, under George W. Bush, and that group of people who were indecently obvious in their lust for war with Iran, they had concluded that Iran was not a nuclear threat to Israel or to the United States. As I mentioned in a previous segment, the last two or three heads of the Israeli Mossad intelligence agency, including the incumbent, have concluded that Iran is not a threat Israel, much less an existential threat. In the last week or so, there have been a number of people who are in positions of responsibility who said that essentially Ron Paul's take is accurate, that Iran is a country that is pursuing nuclear, if it's pursuing nuclear weapons, is doing so because of their perception that they are under siege from the United States. They are, of course, ringed by American military installations in the region, and nuclear-equipped countries that are not congenial to them. And the other thing I find interesting is that the head of the Iranian section of the American Enterprise Institute, an individual by the name of Pletka, has said that if Iran gets nuclear weapons, they probably won't use them. And that's actually a bigger problem, because that would illustrate that these are people who are reasonable, can be dealt with through conventional diplomacy. We can't have that. So the idea is that we have to go to war with Iran, not to prevent them from obtaining a nuclear weapon that they would use, but to prevent them from obtaining a nuclear weapon that they would not use for anything other than deterrence. And so, supposedly, we have to go to war with them in order to prevent them from acquiring the means to deter us. That's how Orwellian the convolutions of this argument become. And simply by speaking truth and common sense on this subject, Ron Paul has established what Newt Gingrich calls his lack of decency, or what Gary Bauer says his utter unacceptability for the office of president, because he's speaking in terms of constitutional fidelity, and he's clinging to the facts rather than to whatever aberrant Byzantine fantasy is being peddled now about what the Iranians are up to. And this all takes place, once again, in the context of this bizarre drive for war with Iran that would be devastating both, of course, to the Iranians and to the United States. It would probably destroy what remains of the European economy, and I can't for the life of me believe that the Europeans would be silly enough to go along with the pressure to impose sanctions on Iran and cut off their access to Iranian oil. But the people who are running things in Washington have made it very clear, redundantly clear, that there is nothing that they will not do. There's no country they will not destroy. There's no population they will not immiserate or annihilate in order to satisfy their perverse and demonic desire for world hegemony, for dominion over all of humanity.
And I really think that there is a timetable But I think that this war with Iran has been certainly planned for a long period of time. I think we installed the present government of Iran. When this happened in 1979, I said, why would we possibly have overthrown the Shah, even though he wasn't a very nice guy, at least he was pro-American, and replaced him with the Ayatollahs, who obviously were anti-American? It doesn't make any sense, and it didn't make any sense. And our policy towards Iran didn't make any sense through the years when we were helping to the Iran-Contra situation, where we were actually providing weapons for Iran during the Iran-Iraqi wars. We were providing weapons for both Iraq and Iran to keep that terrible, senseless conflict going that killed almost 1 million people. And we're financing both sides, and it didn't make any sense then. Maybe it makes more sense now. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grigg. William, go right ahead, and when we get to the end of this break, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get your information.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more?
Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.